with Josiah and Herbie. Oh!
On Hit 96.9.
Boom, another show done, Herbie. Well done.
Feels good. Oh, and I tell you what, we had something bigger than coronavirus today. Oh. We had a local earthquake.
Unbelievable. In our listenership, there was an earthquake in Broadford, and we got a seismologist on to talk about it.
Crazy. People felt it around the area. Unbelievable. But not only that, we did have to speak COVID-19, so we got Janine from Benalla Health to give us the latest update on what's happening here locally and how many local cases we've got.
Yeah, there was heaps going around the place at the moment. Also, we played What's Your Occupation? Spoke to a couple of callers about how our coronavirus is affecting them and their families locally as well.
And you shared a lovely story of how we can put it forward, give it forward in this difficult time after you did something to help out a local.
Yeah, and in return, you helped me out with an idea of what I can do during isolation for 2 weeks.
You're excited about that one. It involves dating apps.
Oh, yeah. I love women. Enjoy the catch-up, guys. We'll speak to you tomorrow.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
I know we've been focusing the show on what is the biggest thing around the world, and that is coronavirus. But something hit yesterday, Josiah, which I think is nearly bigger than the old COVID-19 outbreak at the moment. Something nearly unheard of. Something which has just blown both our minds that we thought was nearly never, ever going to happen here in the Goulburn Valley.
Well, when it came across our desk and I got the alert from Vic Emergency, I thought, hang on a sec, we just dealt with bushfires.
Yep.
We're still dealing with coronavirus. April hasn't hit yet. This cannot happen. A 2.8 magnitude.
Oh my.
It's small for an earthquake, but an earthquake happened in Broadford. So morning to all our Broadford listeners this morning. To talk more about it, we've got a seismologist. His name's Spiro Spiliopoulos, and he joins us on the phone now. Thank you so much for your time, Spiro.
No problems. Good morning.
Now, Spiro, can you confirm there was an actual earthquake in our listenership yesterday in Broadford?
Yeah, that's correct. It occurred about 11:30 yesterday, and the location we've given it is about 5 kilometres just to the south of Broadford.
Do we know what it was caused from? Is it just something that, because we don't often have earthquakes?
Too many people running, or what happened?
Did someone cough?
No, these are natural events. I mean, they're uncommon in this area, but in Australia, they do occur, and they occur because the earth is moving, and that builds up stresses in the plate, in the earth's plate, and every now and then those stresses are released along fault lines.
Hmm. Some people might not have felt it, but for those that did, what would have they felt, a 2.8 magnitude earthquake? What does it feel like?
Depending where you are, I mean, we had about 80 people sort of get onto our webpage and say they felt it. And one of them, I think he was pretty close, said it was felt like a tree falling down just outside the house. Others talked about a rumbling sound. People had their windows rattling, some crockery rattling on shelves, that sort of thing.
Wow. Did this one last for long, Spiro?
Oh, no, it would have only lasted a few seconds. It was very small.
And it is sort of a bit random for us here in the Goulburn Valley. Can we expect more now just because we've had one? Is it a domino effect?
Look, sometimes we get aftershocks, but this is so small, I'm not sure we'll get one. We can't predict them. We don't know when they'll occur. But as I said, earthquakes do occur in this area, mostly more to the southeast from where you are, but they do occur.
Obviously, we're not trying to cause any alarm or concern because 2.8, with no damage and no injuries, we can obviously have a bit of a laugh about it. But is there any cause for concern going forward? Is there a chance something bigger could happen in this area, Spiro?
Look, we can't predict earthquakes going forward. Earthquakes do occur in Australia. That's all we can say, but they're very uncommon. Hmm.
Do earthquakes cause volcanoes to erupt?
I don't think so. I think it's more like the other way. Sometimes with volcanoes, when just before they erupt, you'll get small earthquakes as the magma chamber moves up. But, that's what we've seen.
What's next? You know what, Spiro, if we have a volcano erupt around here, mate, the world's definitely ending. Seriously.
I don't think it'll happen.
Well, Puckapanyal, the army base is just around the corner. Could it relate to any of the boys doing some training or anything like that at all?
Oh, no. This is quite a lot of energy, even though it's 2.8. It's, you know, much larger than the kind of thing you'd be getting out of an army base, I think.
Yeah, right. Unbelievable. Spiro, mate, we really appreciate the time this morning. Didn't think we'd be getting a seismologist on the show this morning, but we really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Hopefully we don't speak to you in the future.
Yeah,
in terms of no more earthquakes. But thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
We've had a lot of people actually get involved at our Hit Facebook page, if you go to Hit Goulburn Valley. And some people felt it. A lot of people in Wallen, they said that they felt it.
Yeah, because it reached Wollan, Puckapunyal, the army base, Seymour as well. A lot of people there felt it.
And then some people have asked, did the earth move? Some people put out the joke, did someone cough? Someone said, did they fart? Getting all the classic jokes. But Andrew did come on and say, I was on the dunny at the time. I thought it was a freight train, but it only lasted about 5 or 6 seconds.
All right.
Was it?
I think Andrew's talking about something else there. 2.8, is that what it was?
Mm.
You've done at least a 3.5 in this studio.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
There are a lot of people who are quite tense at the moment in the community, and we're here trying to sort of relieve that sort of tense feeling that people have and the fear, I guess. But there's something that's happened to you and it happened to me yesterday. Unfortunately for me, mine was at a supermarket while yours was just at work. So it was a bit more
that's right.
Like in a smaller closed space and not as bad, while mine was at a supermarket. And it made a lot of people around me tense.
And judgy.
Oh, yeah.
Very judgy.
And I think that I'm not alone in this, because seeing it's happened to you and I'm guessing that it's happened to a lot more people. So before the whole COVID-19 breakout happened, on a daily basis, would sneeze. This isn't a new thing. I'm a sneezer from way back. I take Telfast in the morning. I've been to the doctors about it, because it's not like I get, you know, the runny nose or anything. It's just out of the blue, I'll fire off maybe 4 to 6 sneezes.
And
it's never
happens,
one.
It happens once a day. It was one. I don't know if I remember our first day working together. Like, we've been mates in the past, but it's never really come up in conversation over a beer. But then all of a sudden, when you start working with someone and they have a sneeze at the same time every day, I'm like, you're right, Herbs. Like,
yeah, it's weird. I don't know what it is. It's actually quite a problem for me. I mean, I don't know if you've ever sneezed while driving, but that's a hazard in itself.
I know. You have to shut your eyes as well.
Because I'm
pop
firing
out.
Off 48. It's like, I'm just driving with my eyes closed for a while. And so that's a hazard itself. But now the bigger hazard is, I've been in the supermarket yesterday doing my shopping in Maroopna, and all of a sudden I've gone, oh, no, not now. Not now. I'm standing on my little dot to be spaced out waiting in the line, and then I feel the...
You know, can't hold it in.
You breathe in, you're looking at, I was like, there's no sun to look at. You know how they said to do that? I was like, I don't know what to do. Everyone's going to around me think that, holy cow, this girl's brought coronavirus to the shops. And so I had to do the, if anyone's looking at me, it's probably looked like I've sucked a lemon so, so, so tight, because I held the sneeze in and did that.
That's how you usually look anyway.
Instead of letting it fly through the air, I was trying to suck it all up and it just didn't work. But you yesterday... Was it in the toilets?
Yeah, let out a massive. I just had like a little coughing fit, and let me just make it clear, I had no symptoms at all. Just came. I had a like a piece of chili or something that went in the wrong hole,
stuck in the back of the throat.
Straight away, they're like, "Mate, go get tested." I'm like, "It's literally chili. You've got to trust me on this one, guys."
It's a very scary thing at the moment.
What happened when you let it go a little bit? Were people like standing around, or did you do it into the?
I had the elbow up, because you're supposed to do it into your elbow, but I didn't let it fly out.
Yeah, but even so, if someone in the office or something does a sneeze, even if it's into the elbow, I'm still backing off.
A lot of people are scared at the moment, so I don't really think I can advise everyone to be not worried about everyone sneezing in public. But sometimes some people will have to clear their throat. They will have a little sneeze, because we are still living.
Yes, we are still people. There are other diseases out there as well.
Hay fever affects people before coronavirus did.
It's going to be a funny world over the next couple of months, isn't it? We're all in it together, guys.
Do you reckon people even say bless you anymore?
No.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Yesterday, Herbie went up to Yarrawonga. You know I like to go up there a fair bit. God's country up there.
It is beautiful.
I am a water baby, and it's been killing me a little bit lately, because there's been blue-green algae, which is finally, after a couple of months, starting to slowly disappear.
Well, it doesn't go away quick.
No.
It's a long process, and so it's a good sign that it is starting to go away.
Obviously, it can be dangerous. You can get sick from it. Your body can get itchy. They say for your animals never to drink it, because it can kill them as well. It's finally trying to lift because of the cooler weather, plus we had that massive downpour a couple of weeks ago that helped get rid of some of it, but not all of it. Anyway, I went up there anyway just because I like to get my coffee and kick back.
And you can at the moment, so.
Yeah, I've got to.
You've got to do it while you can.
I was in isolation. I've got this little spot, right, where I like to go sit under the tree, kick back and relax, lay in the sun, do me. bit of Josiah time.
Yeah.
I'm a strange guy, but you know what? Isolation, good excuse to do it. So I'm there laying down on, there's this little wharf bit, and it's down on the other side for the locals. They know where Chinaman's Island is. On the other side of there, there's this little wharf, and there was a man about 10 metres away from me. I was with my roommate, Morgan, and he was he had a net, and he was feeling around the water.
He was fishing.
I wasn't sure. You'd think so, because that's what the sort of net he was. And then we thought, I wasn't sure whether to go in the water at this stage or not, because I thought I'd better speak to a local if there's still blue-green algae before I take the plunge.
Let's be honest, your top was already off, wasn't it?
Oh, of course it was. I was getting the rays. Got to get that layer of brown on me.
Yeah.
And so Morgan asked the guy, she's like, hey, are you checking for the blue-green algae levels? And he goes, no, you're not going to believe it, actually. I just pulled up my little boat up to this wharf before. I put my wallet down on the side, and then when I pulled the boat in, the wallet went into the water.
Rookie. Absolute rookie move there. You don't put it on the ledge.
I know.
You bury that as far into some deep crevice in the boat.
Well, he put it there with his keys, and his keys were still there. So somehow the wallet's disappeared. I said, could someone have nicked it? He said, no, there's no one else around. And so what he was trying to do is fish around
to find the wallet.
And he didn't want to go in the water because obviously the blue-green algae.
It is a pickle. It is a pickle he was in.
And I said to him, mate, what do you want to do? I said, do you want me to go in and help you out? He goes, oh, no, I wouldn't ask you to do that. And I thought, you know what? I was considering a swim anyway. The shirt's off. The water's cold. There's no murky.
You had your cape on already, didn't you?
I thought, do you know what, Herbie? It's a bad world out there. I'm going to strap my cape on. Superman Sharla is going to go into the blue-green algae depths of the Lake Mawala and look for this man's wallet.
It's not possible, though. It's a big, it's not just like a little pond.
So I said,
oh, there it'll be.
Not to mention where he thinks it fell in is under the wharf, and you can't actually swim. I was going to hold my breath and go under, but it was only about my body deep, so it was too dangerous to go underneath. So what I had to do is put my feet under and feel around with my toes and go along.
Yeah.
And so I did the whole wharf, the whole way underneath it.
Took
about 20 minutes. Starting to get a little bit of an itch at this stage. I hope that's not the algae. Anyway, nothing. And the guy was a bit devastated. You could tell he's upset. He was going, my whole life is in this thing. He had so many cards. He said he had cash, everything. So I was feeling for the guy. Anyway, after about 20 minutes, I said, look, mate, happy to keep looking. He's like, nah, mate, I'll just count my losses during this tough time and go home. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try one more spot, and it's just over here. And so, except I had to put the head under at this stage. So I'm like, all right, if we're getting blue-green algae, we're getting it everywhere.
I've had way worse.
So I jump under and there you go. I felt something underwater. It was his brown leather wallet.
No.
Found it.
And then a hero comes along.
Actually, I thought about it. There was a few wads of cash in there. Almost flogged some. No, but he did. I gave it to him. He's like, mate, he tried to give me some of the cash out of the wallet. I said, absolutely not, mate.
How appreciative would you be finding the wallet, though? I mean, it's the worst thing when you've got to get your cards.
Oh, this guy.
I can't stand doing that. And I know most of the cards you don't have to pay for, but it's just a hassle of not having a card in this day and age.
You know when your dad has like a thick wallet? Like
always George Costanza wallet.
No, this guy was triple George Costanza's wallet. It was the thickest thing.
Impossible.
It was the thickest thing I'd ever seen in my life. It's funny, in a time like this, it did make me feel good about the deed you did, and it made me think we could all pay a little favour for it, even though it was something so, it was a no-brainer for me.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
So I do want to say thank you to a lovely lady named Sharon, if she's listening. She's from Benalla. She listens to the show most days. She works at Chemist Warehouse there. And yesterday on the show, we spoke about Ventolins, and there is a shortage going around all the pharmacies around Australia.
It's crazy. So there was... if you have Ventolin, you'd know that it opens up your chest. And then people thought during this crisis, if you're going to get coronavirus or if there's going to be symptoms, that Ventolin could help you. And so a person like myself that's not an asthmatic... they've been rushing out to the chemist and they've been stocking up. It's another
Settle
item
down.
That they're hoarding for no reason. I don't need it. Doctors have come out and said, you don't need it if you're not asthmatic. But you are asthmatic and you desperately do need Ventolin.
Which is what I've said. And I have been rushed to hospital a couple of times in my life, nearly died once as well. So it is bad for people. And there are worse asthmatics than me out there
as well.
There's
so many people out there that are asthmatic. And that's the issue, that they can't get their hands on Ventolin.
On paper, right, you're not an asthmatic, but you hear that the coronavirus, the symptoms are, it tightens your chest and you find it hard to breathe and you cough. You automatically think, cool, a Ventolin will open up. Experts have come out and said the Ventolin won't help you if you have it, so stop hoarding the Ventolin and leave it to those who do have asthma.
I don't get you silly buggers out there that are hoarding. I really don't. I'd love to meet a hoarder. So, I'd love to meet a hoarder during this crisis because everyone tells me they're not. But then look at your pantries. You are hoarding. Stop it.
You're out there, guys. We know it. And then people are going to really start to crack down.
Oh, yeah.
For me, I was like, you hear about it, I'm like, whatever. But it was until I had to go to several pharmacies and everyone said no to me where it started to get a little bit personal. My mum had the same thing happen to her. It took her five pharmacies before she found one place. Now they have brought in many pharmacies are making you show prescription that you do have an asthma, which is great, so people can't hoard them from now on.
But still, they need to have them in stock to give them to people with prescriptions. So
that's it. Well, we spoke about it on the show yesterday and we got a call off air from Sharon and she works there and she kindly put one aside for me there yesterday.
Lovely lady.
And that wasn't the reason I didn't come on the radio to cry for help and ask someone to send me in a puffer.
No.
But the fact that there's people hoarding. That's it. That was the message I was going to get out because I still had half of one at home. I was more worried about the next week or two when I do run out.
But I think there's more of a message that's come out of now. Sharon's actions
agreed.
Is what we're supposed to be doing through this crisis is supporting one another, coming together as a community and looking out for your neighbours, looking out for your friends. And that's exactly what Sharon did for you, but we now need to do it for others.
That's it. And I felt very touched by her actions yesterday because it did help me out. And one small thing helped me out. But I just thought that's something for me. And I'm in a great boat right now. And I'm not going to lie. There are people so much worse off than me. So guys, look out for one another. Let's all be a Sharon today.
Yeah, let's be a Sharon. And definitely ask those questions, are you okay? Because people won't be it this time.
Yeah, I had a moment last night without getting too serious all of a sudden when footy got taken away. And I know this, out of all seriousness, I know this is a bigger than what it is, right?
Yeah.
But for many, and I know a lot of blokes listening, footy's an escape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so for me, it's NRL. For many, it's AFL. I can watch eight games. And so for this weekend, I was like, I'm in isolation. Can't wait. Eight games of footy. The minute you were with me last night when I found out the NRL got cancelled, I wasn't in a good place.
No.
So for many
And that's
people,
just a small thing. Imagine like not having your job on top of that.
I know.
So we know that there's people worse off, but that's why we've got to look after everyone in our community because you don't know. Looking at someone, you don't know how this has affected them.
Exactly right. And every single person has an individual story. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you've got one and you feel like sharing with it, get in touch with us. Hit GV on Instagram, hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook. Our lines are always open as well. 13 12 16 is our number. We've just received a call from Lee in Winton. Lee, how's your family been affected by the coronavirus?
My son and his children and his wife is down in Geelong. And their business has been shut down because they're in the entertainment business. So they've got no livelihood coming in. Mm. So my son rang me the other day and he said, Mum, can you go to SPC? I said, yep, not a problem. So I bought pasta and rice there and I bought a few other things for him and I loaded it up and I took it down to him. And they come and unloaded my car and they loaded it all in. And my granddaughter that's nine, she said, oh, man, I'm just overwhelmed. She said, what have you got for my birthday, which her birthday's next week? And I said, I bought you something special. She said to me, you know, I would have been happy with just a food voucher now.
Oh.
And I started to cry. And then she came out and wrote this letter. And the letter says to Nan, I love you. You are an amazing man. I love you to the moon and back. You bring us lots of food and lots of meat. Thank you for that. And you had to drive all the way with it. I love you. You don't know how much this means to me, you know, and I just wanted to share it.
I think also how beautiful your granddaughter, I think if we look at this crisis at the moment through the eyes of children, they see it how it is. It's tough. Yeah. But they see the positives of it. And your granddaughter, she said it exactly in the right words, that she's just appreciative of the little things.
Yes. And she likes Chinese sausage. I went and bought her a pack. And she said, that can be my birthday present, man.
Oh. How are they going forward over the next few months? Are you worried for your family? Or do you think they'll pull through and it'll all be okay?
I'm very worried for them because my son has never been on Centrelink benefits. Their business is frozen. They've got 18 jobs that they do in 1 week cancelled. And I think it'll go longer than 6 months. They have a mortgage, they have registrations, they have insurance. And because he wasn't in that criteria on Friday to get benefits, he's got to go back in today.
Oh, it's so tough. It is so tough. Our thought goes out to your family, but not only your family, everyone who's doing it tough at this time. It is, it's something that's going to go on, as you said, for 6 months or even more.
Yes, and, you know, the problem is that there's people out there worse than us.
Absolutely. Well, we really appreciate your call, Lee, and sharing your story with us this morning.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
A lot of people are trying to find ways to kill time during this COVID-19 outbreak. A lot of people are in self-isolation. A lot of people are now choosing to work from home. We know school kids in Victoria, they've started school holidays early. And so people are trying to get their creative juices flowing and think, how can I kill some time during this sort of difficult time?
Yeah, you're seeing lots of videos on TV on The Project last night. You and I saw a couple of creative ways on there as well.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of people jumping to TikTok, which is great, but I think there's other ways to do it. And one guy over in France, he's done just that. He's done something which, if you could achieve this, I think you'd be happy with yourself, but you could also brag a little bit. So his name is Alicia Nokomovitsa.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Or? Exactly. I listened to the phonetics and I got it correct. So he's a 32-year-old male, and before everything got into lockdown and events started getting cancelled, he'd actually signed up for a couple of marathons, the Barcelona Marathon and the Paris Marathon, but seeing these events were cancelled, he thought, oh, bugger, what am I going to do? And he only lives in a little apartment building with a balcony that's tiny, so he's probably on the fourth floor and the balcony might be, let's say, 5 metres in length. It's not big. It's your stock standard balcony you see on a high rise.
For someone that's body's used to doing marathons, stuff that, man. That'd do my head in.
And he decided, you know what? I'm in a 14-day quarantine. Events have been cancelled. What can I do? I'm going to do a marathon at home.
How?
So what he did is he ran the 42.2 kilometres on his balcony. He's put a video up to his socials and he's running just the 5 metres back and forth while his partner is filming him.
What a loser. I thought you meant on like a treadmill or something. That makes sense.
But treadmills can be bad for your knees. So this...
But running back and forth on a balcony isn't when you're turning on your knees.
Yeah, but I think it's a creative way to do it. It's something different. It took him 6 hours and 48 minutes, so still a good time.
Great time.
Better time than I'm doing any kind of marathon in. And he did it on his little balcony.
I'll tell you what, though. I get bored running, and that's through the bush with beautiful, you know, walks along the beach in the bush here. You name it. I get bored just on
you
a good run.
You get bored doing anything.
Let alone 5 metres. Think about when you do laps of a swimming pool, you get bored just seeing the same thing over and over. 5 metres back and forth for 42Ks, no thanks.
I just think it's more incredible. Like, you hear of people doing marathons, and I already take my hat off to them because I go, well done to you. But to see this, I thought, that's a whole nother level.
I think he needs a new hobby, this guy. You know what? This guy needs to download TikTok.
Not hearing things on TikTok, though. Maybe he can't have social media. He's gone old school.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
One of the greatest games that's ever hit the airwaves is What's Your Occupation?
Yeah, it's a pretty simple one, this one. You guys call up 13 12 16. You tell us what your car is, we guess your job.
It's so simple. We ask a few questions, obviously. We're not mind readers. We got to know the make. Sometimes we like to know the colour, the year. Just some simple questions. We might even ask about what's going on in your life at the moment to give us a bit of a gist of what's happening. I mean, you've gotten one right. I've got a none right so far.
And if we get one right, or if we guess your occupation, you don't win a prize.
Yeah.
If we both can't get it, you guys get the prize. Simple as that.
So most likely you get the prize, guys.
Yeah,
we're terrible at this.
There's about a 95% chance you'll win.
If I called up and said that I drove a Honda Jazz, what would you throw at me?
You're a tutorer.
A tutorer.
Yeah, like you're not a school teacher, you tutor.
Tutor.
You go around to kids' houses after school and you go tutor them.
See, I wasn't going down the tutor path. I was actually going to be a kindergarten teacher.
Very similar, though.
But tutor, you would be thinking older kids. I had locked in little kids.
There was a bloke that used to work here at the radio station. He drove a Honda Jazz and he was a Triple M presenter.
My brother, I'm pretty sure, drives a Honda Jazz.
What's
he sets up marquees.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, a very versatile car.
Casey in Moama, what sort of car do you drive, Case?
I drive a 2018 Nissan Qashqai.
Ooh.
It's new. It's very new. What colour?
It's white.
White. Okay.
A white Qashqai.
Now, you're up early, but we know gyms are closed. School holidays have started.
Yeah.
Oh.
She might just be going for a drive. She might not be working.
Cruising the streets of GV.
Okay. What are you up to at the moment? How's the coronavirus affected you?
I'm still working.
Essential.
Okay, so she's got a job.
Essential. Okay, I'm going to chuck the first one out there.
Sure, I was
going to
say, but I'm not at university.
You're not at uni. Okay, so are you a nurse?
Oh, good guess.
No.
No, ooh. Very needed at this stage.
I'm going to go down a similar field, though.
You're doing the healthcare?
Yeah, yeah, I reckon you're something in healthcare. I reckon you are a bit early to work at a pharmacy. I'm going to go with pharmacy. Lock it in anyway.
No, I'm not.
Oh. Are we warm when it comes to healthcare?
No, you're not.
Okay
we're completely off. should we get one more guess each?
Yeah, well, the good news is you've won.
Awesome. I really want to get this right. Oh, what's one more? Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
Okay, game changer.
Are you single?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, interesting.
This is hard. What time is it? Quarter to seven?
You're the admin lady for a tradie company at a mechanic.
No, I'm not.
Damn it. It's very close, though.
Whoa, let's get this. Okay. One more guess.
Okay.
Do you work at one of our supermarkets?
Great question.
No, I don't.
Oh!
Case, you're a woman of mystery. This Dazza's car wash voucher is definitely yours. What do you do for work?
I'm a teacher's aide, so I'm still at work this week.
Oh! My mum used to be a teacher's aide. Oh!
Aren't you on school holidays as of today?
No, so students aren't required at school as of today, but we're still required to be at school for the students whose parents work in emergency services for the rest of the week.
Oh, I see, because my dad's a school teacher. It's the same deal. Are you on, which side of the border are you on? Because you live in New South Wales.
I live in New South. I work in Rochi.
Ah, there you go. So you are Victorian schools.
Yeah.
How's all the kids handled it at your school?
Oh, look, they've actually been really, really good. We ended yesterday, and they were just so, I don't know, they really weren't fussed. There was a few, you know, they asked questions, and you've got to drop it to them as reasonable for their age as possible. But, yeah, no. They've really been coping really, really well.
Yeah, I guess kids can be, it's a funny one, kids can actually be the calming influence in a situation like this, which you wouldn't normally expect, would you, Case?
No, 100%. They've even made, you know, as much as we're all worrying about it and we know the facts and everything, you go to school and it's like they really are that calming influence in a really hard time.
And so are you, Casey, teachers' aide and teachers across the Goulburn Valley. Our hearts go out to you guys. You guys are sort of at the front line of this. So thank you for everything you've done with the kids, and we wish you the best break over the holidays.
No, thank you so much. And you guys being up to be a nice, happy voice every morning to listen to.
Oh, thanks, Casey.
It's too kind, Case. We appreciate that. That Dazza's car wash voucher is all yours.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
A lot of people are concerned at the moment with COVID-19, which is fair, very fair. A lot of people are self-isolating. We're getting told to really keep our distance from a lot of people. But there's one thing that I know you mentioned yesterday that I think people are starting to think about more so now, being in isolation, and that is who you're stuck with. Because I know you mentioned yesterday that you wouldn't mind a girlfriend for 2 weeks if you had to be self-isolated.
A two-week girlfriend. Yeah. It's probably the dream, really, in this situation. If you're stuck with someone, you've got nothing else to do, you just get a little GF.
You mentioned, should I get on the old dating apps again in case this happens? Mm. And I said,
well, not again. I've never been on them.
It's up to you. So he says, guys.
Well, let's be honest, it's either you or someone else. Like, take your pick. Do I get stuck with Herbie or do I get stuck with some random?
You'd be a very lucky person getting stuck with me.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. The chances at this stage are very high.
But there is a little message that I want to put out to those people who may be thinking that in the same way you are in getting that random off the internet, that date, and then getting stuck with them.
I mean, you're making it sound a lot worse than it is. A random off the internet and locking them up for 2 weeks is not quite that bad.
You said it. Because one person over in the UK, turns out this happened to them. They went on a Hinge date, and she actually works for the BBC, so this is how we found out all about this story.
Wait, is Hinge like Tinder?
Hinge is the new sort of Tinder. Oh. A lot more people are on it.
Oh, hang on, let me just write this one down.
Hinge, H-I-N-G-E.
I'm just writing down all the apps that I'm going to be downloading today.
So she went on Hinge, went on a date with a guy, and then ended up getting self-isolated for 14 days.
Wow, you hope you like the person.
2 weeks. And then she thought, how am I going to kill some time? I mean, we're going to be locked up together. They started sharing food. They introduced each other to their favourite TV shows. They even came up with some interesting nicknames together. But then she thought, I've got to share this with everyone else because it is very interesting. We've spoken about it. Would this actually happen? Yes, it does. It happened to Thea. So she went online and worked with the BBC, her company she works for, and shared her story. And she said it worked out well. It's a modern love story.
Isn't it?
Isn't it ridiculous? She goes, I've actually done a public service to everyone. I've trialed it out and it works, so you may as well do it too.
Well, there you go. If anyone wants to marry me today, give us a call. I don't want to go on a date. You're gonna
Not call. Cool. Give us a message. Oh.
Yeah, and send us a selfie as well. It's actually quite a strange thing to think about. We spoke on the show that during quarantine, it's either going to lead in a spike in divorces or a spike in baby making.
In this situation, I think babies are coming. But she did say that he got to see all weird sides of her, even a Chewbacca impersonation.
And that's why I'm dreading being in isolation with you, is because I already know your weird side. So what's going to happen by the end of the 2 weeks? We're either going to eat each other or we're going to get
baby
married.
Baby isn't happening.
You and I are going to be making love.
Oh, no.
And the girl from Tinder, of course.
I'll be the biggest third wheel.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
We have been talking about COVID-19. It's hard not to talk about it. Just before, I mentioned a guy over in France is killing time in isolation by running a marathon in his little building. He's got probably a 5-metre balcony. That's where he's done
42
it
42 kilometres. Good effort.
Absolutely bonkers. But that's a very sort of individual thing to do. And I think here in the Goulburn Valley, because we're in the early stages, stage one of the whole sort of lockdown situation, we need to come together and figure out ways of how we can still be a community, because we thrive in our community spirit here in the GV. And I know soon some people will get lonely, like yourself. You hate to be by yourself.
Hate to be by myself. The only time I'm happy to be by myself is when the footy's on. Now they've taken away the footy, I'm stuffed.
Yep. You're cooked, really. So
I'm so cooked.
So this really is to help you and the rest of the GV who are similar to you that need people around them. And I was thinking last night, how can we do this? Like, how can we bring the community together without bringing them together? Because we know we're not allowed to do that. And you've seen lots of things online, bringing, like, videos are now put up online that you can watch with your family and friends. Movies that were supposed to air in cinemas have been put up online as well. That's that new Trolls one is going to air right on TV. There's a Sydney club in Sydney, obviously, that they're now airing their club online, so you can DJ back at home, room Sydney to room.
I saw that live on Facebook or whatever. I got invited to an app called House Party last night. Yep. It's essentially where you FaceTime with friends, but you can play games on there together and stuff as well.
It's all interesting ways.
Good times, guys.
I mean, they're great ideas. I'm not knocking one of them, but I think I've got a better idea.
Here we go. Yeah. It's better be good, because, you know, without the footy, I'm looking for something really good.
I know, and you like a good time. You like a party. It's no secret.
It's no secret.
You like to wiggle those little hips of yours.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
You know what? Your hips don't lie.
No, they don't. I mean, they should, but they don't.
So I thought we've got to continue down the party scene. And yes, these online clubs are great, but they're still sort of isolated. You're with your four people around you. You can't be with your 400 people around you. So I've thought of a way we can get around this. And I'm going to chuck it out now, put the feelers out to just see if this is, you know, sort of what people want, what the people of the GV want. It is, in my idea, a car park party where we're not actually in the car park standing, but in our cars. So windows up, everyone comes along, we get a DJ. I know you like to spin the decks, and maybe we just play one tune, dare I say, a bit of Kid Cudi. We're all in our cars.
What happens though? Because we can't talk. I'm trying to picture this, right?
We party.
So we have a DJ.
Yep.
In a car park.
Yep.
Everyone rocks up in cars.
Yep.
We crank it. No one's allowed, obviously. I'm trying
You're not allowed out.
I'm trying to
think. You put your hazards on so all lights are going.
Oh,
this
would be cool.
It's like strobe lights. How good? Yes, we can get a smoke machine on top of one car that can just go out to everyone. What are we thinking?
I like it. I'm just trying to figure out everything. Let me just think about what the government's rules are. Isolation. If you're in your car on your own, tick.
No windows down.
Windows up, tick. Cars in a car park, there's no rules against that, is
there? You can
go
through drive-through. multiple cars, so I'm thinking that's fine.
There's no rule against being in your car, is there?
No.
If we can be all together in a place, if I mean, did the cars have to be 4 feet apart? Is that the rule?
Well, do you know what? We could enlist it.
I can't see any problems here. Imagine how fun that would be. I mean, it's annoying that you can't, like, talk to the person next to you, but the fact that we're all flashing out, I think this has legs, Herbs.
It's bringing us together. Let's just say this is the start of something big.
Hey, if anyone's interested in this idea and thinks we should try and pursue a little event like this around the GV, either give us a call on 13 12 16 or send us a message to the Hit Goulburn Valley Facebook page or Hit GV on Instagram.
Maybe you already have a business where you're a DJ in your car. We could pay you.
Imagine that, putting it on your
Imagine
roof.
Imagine the odds of finding someone who's already a DJ in their car.
We'll revisit this idea very soon, guys. If you do like it, get in touch.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Coronavirus, Herbie, is what everyone's talking about. And we want to get a bit of clarity on how it works in our healthcare system. So we thought we'd get the CEO of Benalla Health on the phone right now. Janine, thanks so much for joining the show.
You're very welcome.
Now, Janine, we've heard overnight that there's been a second case confirmed in the Goulburn Valley. How are you guys going in Benalla? How many people have you tested? Has anyone been positive?
At the health service, we've tested to date 14 people who have returned 8 negative results. I'm unaware at this time that there are positive cases in Benalla, but the GP surgeries are working very hard as well with screening and assessing.
You guys are doing an awesome job. We appreciate all the hard work you've been doing in this time as well. Herbie and I have been talking, Janine. If we got symptoms and we thought maybe we have, you know, coronavirus, there's obviously a hotline to call before you do anything. But say we have to come down to Benalla Health or to a hospital, what's the process? Is there like a drive-through testing? Like, how does it work?
If you can call ahead, call our coordinator on 0357 614 356. They'll do an initial screening over the phone to see if you have a fever, cough, sore throat, or if you're short of breath. If you are short of breath and very unwell, absolutely dial 000 and get Ambulance Victoria to you fairly quickly. Tell staff your symptoms, if you have any travel history, if you have any recent contact with someone who's positive, and then they will direct you through our drive-through where staff will do another assessment face-to-face and then swab people. So people need to stay in their cars and we can manage them through our drive-through, which is set up at the front of Benalla Health.
Okay.
There is really clear signage to direct people how to enter and how to go through that drive-through.
But the advice is definitely to call ahead first?
Call ahead first, please, just so that we make sure that we've got staff ready and able to meet people as they come through.
We'll put up the numbers on our website as well so everyone can just get the details. But it is a bit of a crazy time at the moment. We know that we're in stage one currently and things could potentially progress. If we look at New Zealand, they're progressed already yesterday. Do you think that a full lockdown should happen here in the Goulburn Valley?
Benalla Health will absolutely follow state and national directives, and the Department of Health and the Premier's Office are working very hard to keep people safe. So they're updating their websites and their press conferences very frequently, and we will absolutely follow their advice. We will do whatever we need to do to keep our people and our community safe.
Oh, good work, Janine. How's the staff at the Benalla Health feeling about everything? Obviously, there's a lot more stress than normal. Everyone's coping and managing all right?
They're understandably concerned for their community and their own loved ones. But the staff at Benalla Health are highly skilled, very committed. I'm extremely proud of their hard work and the efforts that they're putting in to serve our community.
And we're definitely proud of you guys and very thankful and grateful for everyone at Benalla Health, and not only Benalla Health, all the hospitals across Australia. But we know that with the schools that went into holidays early today, it's affected a lot of people. Has it affected a lot of people at Benalla Health?
It will affect a certain number of our staff. We've sent out a staff survey yesterday to gauge our staff's needs, and we're looking at alternative options so that we can support our staff and their families. It's really important that we can get our staff to the cold front, and that's non-clinical staff as well. And so we'll be looking at other options to support them and their families once we can understand fully what their needs are.
Beautiful. Well, Janine, the CEO of Benalla Health, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for clearing up a few things this morning, and all the best over the coming days and weeks.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your support.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.